The grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be gathered on this Lord's Day to bear witness to the love that God has shown to us through His Son, Jesus. I'm flying solo this morning, as you've probably noticed. I'm afraid David is still not too well, and would appreciate your prayers at this time. And Lindsay's got a weekend away with her family, and it looks as if quite a few others have done that as well this morning. But if you are a visitor with us, we extend a very warm welcome to you and hope that you'll feel at home amongst us. We are particularly pleased that the Guild are with us this morning as they make their act of dedication for the church year that lies ahead. This is the time when our organisations begin to move forward. And it's good that we still have so many opportunities to offer fellowship to people out with our work here on the Lord's Day. We're going to begin our service with a hymn that has been written, the words have been written by a member of our guild, Morag Thompson. Go when God calls and follow where He leads. Let us worship God and sing this together. Friends, in the book of Psalms, we find these words which will lead us into prayer. The psalmist says, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love." Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we give thanks to You that You have made provision for us in establishing this day as a time when we turn towards You to remember who You are and all that You have done, to draw us closer to Your heart that we might walk more closely in Your ways and bear witness to all that You are in our community, our nation, and the world. And we thank You that whatever experiences we've had in the past week, and whatever we have learned of the world and its brokenness, whatever we have heard of people's failure in so many different aspects of life, still we can focus on this great truth, that You are faithful in all You do, that You love righteousness and justice, and the earth is full of Your unfailing love. And so it is that we can go forward from this day, despite disappointment and perhaps even despite despair, knowing that there is a love that holds the whole of creation together, that love has touched us in the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus, and that we ourselves can share this love with all those who are in need. And so we pray that today we might lay aside any thoughts of failure, for You have promised us renewal in the power of Your Holy Spirit. And we pray that we might go forward now from this day knowing that You have seen our lives, knowing that You see the potential in our lives, and that it is from the depths of Your being that You seek to fulfill this potential. We pray all of this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and ask that now You would be with us as we say His prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, not too many boys and girls with us this morning, but it's good to see you two here at the front, and maybe others peppered around the place, but never mind. It's great to have a wee word with you at this particular point. Now, I have to say, quite often round about this time of the year, I wouldn't be here, because we would take the opportunity to go down to Cheltenham to see how Busby's doing. Remember Buzz? He's my wee grandson. And, well, I'm not able to go down at this time, but Mrs. Buchanan, she's going down on Wednesday to see how things are doing. So that means I've got an empty. I can get all my pals, and we can sit around talking theology. You know, it's a great prospect, something to look forward to. No, well, so there we go. And, you know, it really would be good to go down and see him, because he's now saying words. Oh, yes, this is where the trouble starts. He is now saying words. You know what he can say? He can say, seesaw. And he says it in a wee kind of sing-song voice, you know, seesaw. Lovely wee voice, singing voice, just like his grandpa. And he can also say, slide. And he gestures when he says, he goes, slide. You know, I wonder where he gets all that stuff from, you know. And he can also say, shark. Now, don't ask me, please. I don't know where the shark is coming from. At least we think that's what he's saying. But maybe we won't go into that. There's other wee words that are struggling to come out as well. But you know, when I was listening to him on the FaceTime on the computer, and it was a reminder to me how powerful words can be. You know, he says these few words that he has, and suddenly you feel very, very happy. You know, it's lovely to hear him saying these words. It makes a change in you. You know, maybe you're not feeling too wonderful, but somebody says words to you, and it just seems to light up your life. And I was reminded that it was when God spoke at the beginning of all things that the world came into being. That was how powerful God's word was. And I'm reminded that in Jesus' day, when he was going around the country of Israel, and he saw people who were sick, sometimes he just spoke the word, and they were healed. And sometimes he would speak the word, and people's lives were changed. People who hadn't been living very good lives would suddenly realize that there was change needed in their life. Jesus' words were powerful to make a difference. And you know, when you read the Bible, and particularly the teaching that the Apostle Paul gives us, we realize just how powerful our words can be. You know, there's one point where Paul, he's writing to a church just like this, although it was 2,000 years ago, and he says to them, I want your words to be seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt. Now, what did he mean by that? You can't, you know, say something and then sprinkle salt on your words. But you see, long time ago, they didn't have fridges. They didn't have deep freezes. And so if they were going to keep meat fresh, they used to rub salt into it. The salt kept the meat good. And so what Paul is saying when he says that our words should be seasoned with salt, what he means is that our words should be good. That we should try and encourage people. That we should try and show them how much we love them. And that we should take every opportunity we have to tell the story of Jesus. To tell people how he came to this earth as the Son of God. To tell them how he died for us on the cross and rose again from the dead. That's the most powerful story that the world has ever heard, and it can make such a difference to people's lives. And when that happens, you know, so many people down through the ages have said, this is such a wonderful story, a story of God's love for me, so I've decided to follow Jesus. And that's what we're going to sing now. In our order of service, you'll find that I have decided to follow Jesus. A long time since we've sung this together. But good for us to come to a point once again where we can rededicate our lives to following in Jesus' ways. Let's sing it together now. I have decided to follow Jesus. Now, before Elizabeth reads God's word to us, friends, we remain seated and sing together our prayer for understanding. Now, we only want three verses in this hymn, so verse 1, verse 3, and verse 5. 1, 3, and 5. Of Holy Spirit, hear us. Help us while we sing.
This morning's scripture reading can be found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, at verse 20, page number 1051 in the Pew Bibles. Luke 17, beginning at verse 20 and continuing to the end of the chapter. Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." Then he said to his disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. Men will tell you, 'There he is,' or 'Here he is.' Do not go running off after them. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by his generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the roof of his house with his goods inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left. Where, Lord? They asked. He replied, where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather. Amen.
We sing together now, friends. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Now let us pray. God our Father, by your grace, enable us to stand on the words of the psalmist, who believes that you are here and you are not silent. So we pray that through your words you would speak to us today, to renew us in mind and in spirit, so that we are more fully given to the work of your kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was in primary school, friends, I had a teacher called Mrs. McLeod. She came from the Isle of Lewis. She was a member of the Free Church of Scotland, and therefore she took her religious instruction very seriously. And not only that, but in her conversation and in her casual remarks, these were very often peppered with Bible references and Bible quotes. And whenever someone was turning round in class to speak to their pal or to look at his answers, you know, she would always say, "Now turn round, face the front, remember Lot's wife." Now you'll remember Lot's wife. Lot was Abraham's nephew, and he was part of Abraham's household. But the day came when Lot went his own way, and the Bible tells us that he set up his tent near the town of Sodom. And eventually he moved into Sodom and lived there. Now Sodom was one of the wickedest cities in the land at that time. And the day would come when God's judgment was going to fall upon that city due to its wickedness. But it was in God's mind to save Lot and his family. And so heavenly messengers were sent to Sodom, and they were to lead Lot and his wife and family out of Sodom before the judgment fell. Now the heavenly messengers gave quite specific instructions to Lot's family. They grasped them physically and they began to lead them out of the city, and there was one command, and the command was, "Don't look back. Don't look back. Even when the fire and the sulfur are raining down upon the city, don't look back." But of course, Lot's wife looked back, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. That was the fate that Mrs. McLeod was seeking to deliver us from when we turned round in class to chat or to look at somebody else's answers. The instruction was to Lot and his family, don't look back, but his wife did. And she suffered as a consequence. Now we read this morning in the Gospel according to Luke these same words of Mrs. McLeod, only this time used by Jesus. Jesus says to all those who are listening to him, to all his disciples, remember Lot's wife. And that story is very much in his mind as he responds to a question that's being put to him by the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day. It was one of the big theological issues of the day as to when the kingdom of God would come upon the earth, when God would finally demonstrate all his power, all his majesty, all his justice, and bring about a new creation out of the fallenness and the brokenness of the world as it is. And it was one of the questions that arose from this concern as to when this was going to happen. This was the big question. And the Pharisees come to Jesus and they say to him, "When is it going to happen? You are this great teacher. Tell us when we can be sure of the kingdom of God coming down upon this earth." And Jesus responds quite clearly at three different levels. First of all, he says to them, the kingdom is present. The kingdom is present now. You know, you're all chattering about this. You're all seeking to calculate when the kingdom of God is going to come down upon this earth. But I'm telling you that the kingdom is present now. The kingdom is present within you. The kingdom is present within communities. You think that whenever any significant event happens in the world, like war or disaster or some kind of social upheaval, you see all this and you say, "This is it. This is the kingdom is about to come." Jesus says you need to forget this, because the kingdom is already here. God is present in the world, and God is seeking to bring about his purpose in the midst of the fallenness and the brokenness. On another occasion, Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a growing seed in the ground. You can't see it, you can't hear it, but boy, it's throbbing with life, and it's moving towards that day when there will be a harvest. Jesus is saying that this is the way God works. He's working quietly in this moment, but moving towards the day when his kingdom will be revealed in all its power. Jesus talks about the days of Noah and the days of Lot, when people were just going about their business as normal. They were being married and giving in marriage. They were buying and selling. Life was going on as normal, but they didn't realize that underneath the surface of their lives, God was working to bring out his will in the world. And this is the way of the kingdom, friends. And something we have to realize. You know, we do yearn, at least I do, yearn for those days when the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of heaven. But we can't become so distracted with this that we forget to show the kingdom now in our lives. Following the values of the kingdom. Proclaiming ourselves to be the kind of people that are going to be comfortable when the kingdom comes. The kingdom is now. And we can see it when lives that have been lived apart from God are now living in faith. We can see it when people around us are inspired to care for someone else who might be sick or sad or in some kind of trouble. It may be just a small thing, but that is the kingdom of God. And we can see it when people are inspired to confront the injustice and the cruelty in this world and seek to take on institutions that stand against God. That is the kingdom. We're seeing glimpses of it in the way God works in human lives and within communities. But of course, Jesus is quite clear also that while the kingdom is here, the promised kingdom will come when God demonstrates his power, his justice, and his love in all its fullness. The kingdom is present, but also the kingdom is promised. And Jesus makes that clear in what he says to his disciples. There will be this climactic event when people will be in no doubt that God has acted in their midst. He refers to the days of Lot. And how the fire and the sulfur came down upon the wicked city of Sodom. Jesus said people were in no doubt that on that day God was working. It was the same in the days of Noah, when life was going on as normal, but then came the flood and people became in no doubt that this was God working in the midst. And he warns his disciples about some of the false alarms that might come about in the course of their lives. People who see significant events and think that the door has now been opened for the coming of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, don't be fooled. But there will be a day when God reveals himself. He says, the Son of Man in his day will be like lightning that flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first of all, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. There'll be no argument about it. You know, imagine, you know, the Son of Man lighting up the world from one end to the other. There'll be no question on that day. But he's also touching, I believe, on the history of the church in microcosm. He depicts the coming of the Son of Man in such glorious terms, but he says, but first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And that seems to me, folks, to be, in a sense, the history of the church in microcosm. That it's given to us in this moment, yes, to see signs of the kingdom, but also to suffer and be rejected by society. But we do this in the knowledge that one day the beam from Zion's hill will lighten every land. We do this in the knowledge that one day the labor pains will be over and we'll be presented with a new creation. We do this in the knowledge that one day the voice of Jesus will be heard throughout the universe and he will proclaim, I am making all things new. There's a prominent historian in the UK today who's written a book. It's called The Best of Times and the Worst of Times. And it's subtitled A History of Now. He's seeking to get to the bottom of all the political and economic forces that are acting in the world at this moment. And he says in his introduction, I've got nothing to say about the future. I've got nothing to say about the future. But we read God's word and we see that God is telling us so much about the future. And he's calling us to trust in his ways with us and to know that one day, all the dark experiences, all the painful experiences will be flushed out of human experience when we are part of the new creation. So the kingdom is promised. And that is why Jesus makes it clear that the kingdom must become a priority in our lives. The kingdom must become a priority. Remember Lot's wife, said Jesus. You know, her hand was grasped by a heavenly messenger. She was led out of danger. There was only one instruction that was given to her, don't look back, but she looked. And you might say, well, any normal person might be curious about what's happening down there when there's fire and sulfur raining down on a city that you knew so well. But there's a sense in her story that she regretted what she was leaving. You see, it started off with Lot and his family living in a tent on the verge, on the outskirts of the city. Now they were inside, in a permanent dwelling with perhaps wealth and possessions. And it seems as if there was a sense of regret within her at all she was leaving behind. And Jesus is saying to his disciples here, now, you people who recognize that the kingdom is here, who recognize that the fullness of the kingdom is yet to come, you cannot be like Lot's wife. You cannot have all of this in your head about the kingdom and regret those things, those material things, which are holding you back from going forward. Jesus says to them, once you have set your course towards the kingdom, once you have set your hand to the plow, You have to keep moving forward. And as you're moving forward in the kingdom, anticipating the coming of the kingdom, there may be things that you will have to leave behind. And you read the story, the examples that Jesus gives of people who on the day of the Lord want to go back into the house to get things that are important to them. They want to go back to the fields to make sure all the equipment is tidied away. It's quite extraordinary to think that people might behave like that on the day of the Lord. But Jesus says, remember Lot's wife, who even as she was being delivered from catastrophe, regretted what God was doing for her in her life. She went out reluctantly. Her hands were empty of those things that were precious to her. And I've got to ask myself this morning, you know, what's in my hands this morning that is preventing me from being closer to God's plan for this creation of which we're all a part? What are the things I would find difficult to leave behind? Because Jesus teaches us that wealth and possessions and what society in general would regard as success, that can all be a hindrance to us in so many ways. I've told you the story before of, you know, I came across my old English professor in a nursing home once, Professor Bryce. And I was talking to him and asking how he managed to end up in this place. And he was saying, well, I was on my own. I wasn't able to look after myself very well. And my house went on fire. And he said, I lost all my books through fire damage and water damage. And there was something in me went, what? But he said, well, you know, you can't take them with you. And something within me was saying, can you not? And there's this vision of myself on the last day, you know, gathering as many books from my study as I possibly can, and presenting myself to the Lord who gave everything for me. It is funny, but it's sad as well, isn't it? Because those who belong to the kingdom are those who will say on the last day, nothing in my hands I bring. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. And what Jesus is doing with his disciples in this passage is training them for that moment. You have to start living in the kingdom now, looking forward to that moment when you stand before the God of the Lord who gave his life for you. And what will your life consist of in that moment? All he wants to see is your love for him. Well, the disciples are caught up with this, of course, and you know, they say to Jesus after he'd finished, well, where, Lord? You know, tell us more. Despite everything that he said, they still want to know when it's all going to happen. And Jesus, maybe a wee bit exasperated, said, well, when you see vultures circling in the sky, then you know there's a dead body somewhere. You'll know when it happens. But until then, remember that the kingdom is present. Remember that the kingdom is promised. Remember, the kingdom is your priority. Let's pray. God, our Father, we ask that in the power of your Spirit, by your grace, you would take us forward in the work of the kingdom, so that through the people we are and the message that we bring, there might be a greater understanding of your Son Jesus and all that has been done for us in him. We pray this in his name. Amen. Well, friends, it is a privilege to have the guild with us this morning and to acknowledge the work that goes on there in providing fellowship for people throughout the week and all the work that the guild does in caring for one another. I'm going to ask them now to stand so that we can say a prayer of dedication. So if you're able, please, members of the guild, would you stand? And let us pray together. God, our Father, we give thanks that your Holy Spirit creates fellowship for your people to enjoy. Fellowship where we are all significant. Fellowship where we can learn more of your ways with us. Fellowship where we are given the opportunity to serve one another. And we give thanks to you that through the years, through the generations, the Guild has been your instrument to provide this for your people. And we would ask, O Lord, that you would bless the work of our Guild this year. We thank you for all the plans that have been made. We thank you for those speakers who have responded so readily to come into our midst. And we pray that all of this would be a refreshment to the spirits of all those who will gather on a Monday evening. We ask a blessing on Elizabeth and Eleanor, the joint presidents. We pray also for the committee and ask that they would be given all the strength of mind and of spirit that will be needed for the days ahead. And today, Lord, we would think of all those who have been faithful in offices within the guild through the years and who are now beyond our sight, our touch, and our call. We thank you for them and pray that their memory would be our inspiration. And we remember any members of the guild who are not able to be with us this morning because of sickness or personal difficulties. Lord, we hold them in our hearts and pray that soon they will be able to gather once again in the fellowship they value so much. And all of this we pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please sit down. And we'll sing together now, friends. This is a day of new beginnings, time to remember and move on. Let us pray. God, our Father, our hearts are filled with gratitude when we remember that our lives are so different from so many in the world today, that we live out of an abundance where so many people are struggling to hold body and soul together. And so we're grateful that the lines have fallen in such a way that we are provided for all our basic needs and that we enjoy the privileges that only can come to those who are part of the richest areas in the world. But we ask today, Lord, that out of this richness, you would make us strong to serve, to look outwards at the world, to remember that there is poverty, injustice, cruelty, and that so many people today will wake up with dread in their hearts at what lies before them. Lord, enable us to remember this and enable us by your grace to respond in any way that we can so that the kingdom of God in its love, in its power, in its justice, might be known throughout the earth. And we pray, Lord, that you would enable us by your mercy to support one another in the life of this church, that we might serve our community, knowing the privilege of serving in your kingdom. And we pray, Lord, for your church wherever she is at this time, giving thanks for those who have cause to celebrate, but also remembering that there are congregations that struggle day by day. We pray, Lord, that the faith will be maintained whatever the circumstances, that belief in your kingdom, as we experience it now and as we anticipate it, would be the motivation for all your people. And we remember, O Lord, our nation at this time, praying that in the midst of all the great issues which exercise the minds of our leaders, that there would be clarity, that there would be wisdom from on high, that there would be a sense of compassion as the future of our nation is decided. And we pray, O Lord, that you would be close to any we know who are finding life hard because of pain in their bodies, anxiety in their minds, fear for the future. Lord, draw near to each one. Hold them in your heart. Enable them to gather what resources are needed to go forward in faith. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Friends, I have the following edict to read with regard to ordination and admission of elders. Elaine Adair, Sandra Angus, Eleanor Easton, Kate Edwards, Christine Forsyth, Janice McLean, Anne McLeod, Mary McCready, Neil Rankin, Sue Rawlings, Jill Wallace and Nimi Whitelaw. Members of this congregation have been elected to be ruling elders. Elaine Adair, Sandra Angus, Eleanor Easton, Kate Edwards, Christine Forsyth, Janice McLean, Anne McLeod, Mary McCready, Neil Rankin, Sue Rawlings, Jill Wallace and Nimi Whitelaw have accepted office as elders. If anyone has any objections why any of these members should not be ordained, or that Alec McEwen and Donald Skinner be admitted to office, they state their objection at the meeting of the Kirk Session in the Jubilee Hall on Sunday 28th October 2018 at 9:45 a.m. If no relevant objection regarding life or doctrine is made and substantiated, the Kirk Session will proceed to the ordination and admission. And this is by order of the Kirk Session, Graham Mill, our session clerk. Can I draw your attention, friends, to the all-age family service which is taking place next Sunday, the 21st of October. It's the Girls Brigade dedication service, and Lindsay has asked me to emphasise this to you this morning, and you'll know what that means. She's very keen that despite the holiday period that we're going through, that as many as possible should be gathering next Lord's Day. So it's suitable for everyone. All are welcome to stay for the full service. However, Holiday Club will still be on, will still be available for those wishing to leave after the second worship song. And Lindsay sends her thanks to you. So friends, can we sing our final hymn now? Father, hear the prayer we offer. Not for ease that prayer shall be, but for strength, that we may ever live our lives courageously. Now may you go in peace, for the kingdom of God is within you and amongst you. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forevermore. Thank you.